I want to get right to it. We're talking about Jesus said. If he's to increase and we're to decrease, we got to go with what he says. And what he says is critical. It's life. His friend Peter, again, the loudmouth who would jump off the rails a little bit, but also would say some things that were really wonderful. He said, you got the words of life. Where else can we go? Great question, and yet we all have gone different places. Remember that little story as a kid called Are You My Mother? It's got this little duck that gets out of the nest and is trying to figure out who's my mom. Well, we do that with our lives. We go all these different places. Am I valuable? Do you think I'm important? What do you think about me? Does the job say I'm important? Does my wife or my husband or the potential wife or husband or my kids or all these things, am I important? Are you my mother? And Jesus alone is the one that ascribes worth because, wait for it, he made us. He knows how we're supposed to run. So what he says goes, and we're trying to focus on that all 2023. And again, if you've been here at all, you know that we love Jesus and talk about him all the time because what he says goes. Because he's God. Because for him to increase and us to decrease means life abundantly. Not fake life. Not manufactured life. Not weekend at Bernie's where you have a dead life and you make it look like it's alive. Boy, did we try that. So, you know, one of the things that Jesus said that we're really focusing on in this first part of January, and now we're end, here we are. Anybody else go, who blinked? Just right by. He said, I am. This is this powerful, all-encompassing verb noun about who God is and what his name is. Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord, all caps, whatever way it looks like in your Bible, whatever way you heard it. This means I am. He's very present. He's always present, always active. We look at the fact that Jesus said that he was that I am, and he also described the I am. In the last couple of weeks, we looked at he's the bread of life. He doesn't just bring food. He is food for our souls, food for our lives. He's sustenance, not just maintenance. And then last week, we looked at the fact that he said, I am the light of the world. Look, he's presently the light. He's always the light. He doesn't just bring light. Friend, he's the source of light. The wake-up call, for sure. Do you know that you have to actually tell a severely blind person that the light is shining? Jesus gives sight to the blind, and then they know the light is shining. So many good things. But today we're going to look at the fact that Jesus is the door and the good shepherd. And if you will, join me in John 10. And I do have to go a little bit quicker. I do want some discussion today, but I really want to be able to get you guys to this spot of who he is and get us to a spot of transitioning out of this building and letting other people come in. You guys go prepare whatever food you're going to bring and come on back. Did you catch me invite you again? I threw the food in there. That's not really what's important to me. You are, and I want you to come. But I also want us to be able to get to that family meeting and have an amazing time and talk through some really cool things, rejoice together, celebrate together, maybe even pray a little bit. So we're going to John 10. And as you guys turn there, I want to remind you that the Bible is in a context. The context is these people's lives. We constantly hear these stories and think, oh man, that was pretty cool, but that was so far back then. Things like that don't happen now. Let me tell you what does happen. People live and people die. People have highs, people have lows. People have good, people have bad. People always need God. There's this man that gets healed of being blind in this previous chapter. He was born blind, and Jesus makes mud pie, puts on his eyes, and he goes, washes his eyes, and he can see gradually, and then he totally sees. Something kind of funny about that is like he says, I see what looks like trees. He was born blind. How does he know what trees even look like? And yet, he's got this progression. And some of us are there too. Some of us, our eyes just were open and we see things. We're like, thank you, Lord. Most of us are like, there you are, Jesus. But something really profoundly sad happens in this whole story. Jesus pursues this guy, asks him if he knows who the Son of Man is, and he says, no, nobody's told me who the Messiah is. He says, I who speak to you am he. You're seeing him literally right now. And he's like, sweet. And he worships him and he follows him. He had been kicked out of the church because he said that Jesus was amazing. The people who should have celebrated with him the most, the religious leaders, kicked him out. They didn't lead him well. As a matter of fact, they didn't want him. But Jesus did. Let's go. That's the context that we get, John 10. John 10, 1 through 6. We start with Jesus saying, truly, truly, he's verily, verily, I am telling you the truth. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man's a thief and a robber. More on the thief and robber later. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought all of his own, he goes before them. He leads them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Seems pretty straightforward. How many of you grew up taking care of sheep or cattle or any kind of... We got a few. That is the vast majority of us that are going, not me. A sheepfold, an area, right, where the sheep are kept either out in the open field, but almost always attached to a house of a shepherd. Lots there. But he tells the story to these people who should understand it, because many of them, well, they all grew up in this agricultural area because that's how they lived. This figure of speech Jesus used with them. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. So, They're asking, what? We don't get it, Jesus. I don't know if you get it, but he goes on to explain it. He really breaks it down for them. Does anybody besides me need Jesus to break stuff down for them? You know what? Some of the stuff that's so straightforward, it's really offensive, kind of like light. But he's like, look, we go straight from the story with this blind guy to Jesus saying, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Anybody who wants to enter in goes through the door. Anybody who doesn't go through the door is trying to steal something. Check it out. Verse 7. I love this gracious Jesus. So Jesus again said to them. Have you ever had Jesus have to tell you something more than once? Who just said that? Who said the truly, truly? Go ahead, Joe. He's like, let me say it again. Truly, truly, right? So he says this again. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. More on that verse in a second. Look at how he breaks this down. I'm the door. I'm going to give you six words that start with S, but we're only going to do the first three right now. He talks about salvation, security, and satisfaction. right away. I'm the door. I'm the way in. There's nobody else that's going to give you life but me. Again, if you're a simple-minded individual like me, or you're really, really analytical like other people, this is going to make sense if you let it. Jesus will say it over and over again, and he does right here, right? Just really quick. He already said he was the door, but he says it 1, 2, 3 times in what we've read in these 10 verses already. I'm the door. If you're looking for the way in, if you're looking for your purpose, if you're looking for salvation, if you're looking for security, if you're looking for satisfaction, I'm it. And so I wanted to say to you, this idea of being a sheep isn't super attractive to most people. Sheep are pretty helpless. Now, there are some wild sheep, rams, and stuff like that, but for the most part, they're taken care of, or they die. This should sound familiar, because when we start out as babies, that's our story too. I have a grandson named Benji. He's a little over 1 year old. That's funny, I said years. It's only 1 year. So he's a little over 1 year old. This guy's already trying to take care of himself. He climbs up this stool the other day, and he's looking through some things, trying to figure out what he could get. He could get real hurt. He could get all kinds of things that wouldn't help him, but he's looking for something. What? I don't know. He's one. But he needs help. And then spiritually speaking, we need help as well. And Jesus is saying, look, there's some people that are coming to take from you, but I'm not coming to take from you. I'm coming to give to you. I'm the only way you can be saved. I'm the only way you can be satisfied. Sheep come in and out. If they just stay in the sheepfold, they're probably not going to eat. And they'll eventually die unless somebody feeds them. He's like, look, I love to be the way. I love to protect you. I love to open the door because I am the door. Come in and get protection and rest. Go out and get exercise and some food. I'll take care of you. But you gotta come through me. That sounds super exclusive. Because it is. He's like, don't try and find it anywhere else. The people that want you to do stuff for them, they want you to exist for them, are thieves and robbers. Think of the Pharisees not rejoicing over a blind man getting his sight, but being mad that he had the audacity to talk to them like they needed to learn something. Thieves and robbers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, the religious leaders that are like, you don't talk to me like that. I don't exist for you. You exist for me. Let me tell you something. Jesus made those people and still served them and loved them. He made you and I, still loves and serves us. So he says, I'm the door. He says, I'm salvation. Listen to verse 9 again. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Last week we talked about the dark. What do most people do when it's dark? Turn on the light. They sleep. They do bad things. He's like, look, when it's dark, come in and I got you. When it's light, I go with you, but I send you out. I know where you're going. Everything's good. I'm here for you in that way and in every way. Look, he gives you rest and protection. He gives you exercise and food. The pasture is a place of peace. And he wants that for us. Let's move on. Verses 11 and 12. Oh, by the way, I told you I was going to talk to you a little bit about verse 10. So, thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We've flipped that. The thief, the greatest thief, is the devil, the enemy, demons. They make it seem like if you follow me, do your own thing, just be your own boss, and do like I did in heaven, where I got kicked out. If you do that, you'll have abundant life. Lie. He's stealing, killing, and destroying. But he makes it look like Jesus is stealing, killing, and destroying. He doesn't want you to have fun. He doesn't want you to enjoy life. He's just this cosmic killjoy. Just go to church, fold your hands, give some money, be nice, do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. He's like, no, I came to give you abundant life. I know what you were made for, cuz I made you. Verse 11. He says he's the door. Now he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This he will repeat four more times. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I was looking for a job when I found this one. Shoot, I'm out. I don't need to do this. They can't pay me enough money to fight a wolf for these sheep. Have you ever talked to sheep? They don't even talk back. Man, they're just dumb. And the milk, it's up in the air. Jesus says again, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is relationship. Relationship that costs him something. And it's worth it to him. He wants us. He lays down his life for us. Does he call us to lay down our lives? Absolutely. If we're trying to find out where our worth and our value is, we've got to go to the one who paid for us. He tells you how important you are, how valuable you are, what you cost, what you're worth. When he says he's the good shepherd, he's like, this is it. Doesn't get any better than me. The people he's talking to would have understood that going all the way back to all the patriarchs and even Abel, the very first shepherd, that God's people were shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. But I'm it. I'm the supreme. I'm the best example. Nobody's like me. He wasn't egotistical. He was God. And still is. And he was telling them, look, let me take care of you. And this is how I'll take care of you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Second time he says it, verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. He's talking about people that weren't Jews. Weren't people that were growing up with Jesus in their face. There's more. And I'm bringing them. That's why some of you sit here today, sheep of the Most High God, the Good Shepherd. Because he said, they're going to hear my voice. If you've heard his voice, if you're hearing it even today, not because I'm blabbing or because anybody else blabs, but because God's talking to you, then you hear his voice. If you fight it, no, there's a lot of other shepherds out there. There's a lot of options. Then you're not hearing his voice. I can't make you hear it, but I'm going to keep saying what he said. Because Jesus said, I want you to hear it. I want you to believe him. I want you to come to him for life. I can't make you do it, but I can invite you. I can model it for you. I can introduce you to people who do. And for this reason, the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. Fifth time that he says it. And I have authority to take it up again, which is total reference to the fact that he's God. I can die if I want to, and I'll rise up again. Nobody else in all of the religious history of the world has a check in the column for resurrection. Just him. He truly is the good shepherd. And he lays down his life for us that we would have life. This charge, he says, I've received from my Father. He didn't go, no thanks. Later on, as a human, right, he says, look, if there's any other way, but if not, not my will, yours be done. Look, this is crazy. All this happens. He says this very clearly. There was, again, a division among the Jews. This is the religious leaders when you see the all cat, or not the all cats, but the capital J. There was a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? Okay, we've talked about this before, right? He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he really is, all caps, Lord, the great I am. And they're doing their own little cost-benefit analysis. And they're like, nope. They assess that he's insane and has demons, many of them. But there was a division. So there was others that thought differently. Verse 21. These are not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? They go back to the context that we talked about in the beginning. They're like, there's no way. And so Jesus, who some called insane or a demon or the Lord, they all heard him say, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one that's come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I'm the one that lays down his life for you. I'm the only way in. I'm the door and I'm the good shepherd. And how did he prove it? Here's the other three S words. That's funny. Okay, sacrifice, separation, and selection. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. Not too long ago in our culture, by a number of people who call themselves Christians, not just conservative, although that too, but they call themselves Christians, they started mocking the word sheep. Because they understood it. Just following the crowd, just like a sheep. And yet Jesus says, we're sheep. And I'm a good shepherd. And I'm leading you. Follow me. I've laid down my life for you. I'm going to tell you, this idea of separation is a big deal. There are people who don't want Jesus, the good shepherd. They don't want him. He's a liar. He's demon-possessed. He's crazy. He's too exclusive. And then there's some of us who are, no, he's it. He's life. I'm here to tell you, that's going to cause some challenges in your marriages, in your families, in your jobs, even in your churches. There's separation. But the final thing is there's selection. By the grace of God, you and I get to choose. He chooses us first, and if we're hearing his voice, we're responding to the fact that he spoke to us, you guys, that he's the good shepherd, that he's the door. We're recognizing it's exclusive, and we're thanking God that he includes anybody that wants to. But the challenge here is, whether it's salvation, security, satisfaction, sacrifice, separation, or selection, we forget that he is it. We think there's got to be another way. Because this following Jesus and doing things his way is just not for me. I tried. It's just hard. So I don't know, maybe next time. Friend, too much death has happened for me with friends, family, for me to stand here before you this morning and say, yeah, you got time. Go figure it out. You might, and I pray you do, but you might not. If you're hearing his voice, listen to him. Come to the shepherd. Speaking of shepherd, you didn't think I could get through this without giving you a shepherd psalm, did you? You might not know this, so as we're turning to Psalm 23, know this, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 are all shepherd psalms, and they're really, really good, and they go together. I don't have time to go through all of them. I'm only going to go through this one and that fairly quickly. But I want you to look again for this idea of salvation, security, satisfaction, sacrifice, separation, and selection in these six verses. But it's beautiful, Psalm 22, 23, and 24 together. I'll give you a little geek out moment for me. About 10 years ago, I was reading through Psalm 22, and I realized so much of that literally was played out when Jesus was on the cross. It's beautiful. I'll let you go check that out. Also, in the notes or in the questions, there's a bunch of other shepherd verses that didn't even come close to making it today. But they'd be good for you to go and spend some time in. Psalm 23, this is in the ESV. Some of you have memorized this. It's very comforting. It's about really the most popular passage I've ever seen at funerals or memorial services. And it's cool because it's comforting, but gosh, you guys, it's really about life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is constantly shepherding. He's always the door. He's shepherding you and I in the moment we're in. You know why? Anybody? Really quick. He loves us. Why is he shepherding us in the moment? We need it. He loves us. He's always with us. We're sheep. Amen, Noel. Absolutely. Here's the really simple thing, you guys. We don't have any other moments we're in. We try to live yesterday, try to prepare and worry and think and plan for tomorrow, but that moment isn't here yet. This is the moment we're in, and he's shepherding us. That's what this word means. He is shepherding me. I shall not lack. I shall not want. Very quickly, and if you want to join me, you can. I'm going to go to 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. I was just so amazed that I literally read about six different authors in different books and or commentaries on this. And they all had this. And by God's grace, it was on my mind, but I couldn't remember where it was, so I'm really grateful that they quoted it. Here we go. Did I say 2 Peter? Yeah, 2 Peter 1, 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. He's given you and I everything. We don't lack anything when we're in Jesus. We want stuff. We need stuff. We don't lack anything for godliness and living it out. Verses 2 and 3, really quick in Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love this. Makes me lie down. Full sheep, lay down. How many of you, get a little full tummy? You're feeling really restful. Some of us are like, nope, food is fuel, and I just go out and great. But this is how sheep will chill. There's something a little less glorious and a little less acceptable about how you can make a sheep slow down. Tell it to you like this. There was a guy named Richard Pryor. He was a comedian. He was foul. He had a life that was so very difficult. And then he got really popular and famous, and it was still difficult. A lot of bad choices. And he said his whole life, people were telling him, you got to slow down, Richard. You got to slow down. You got to slow down. He said, then I got MS. He said, you know what I found out? God can make you take five. Sometimes a shepherd has to slow down his sheep. Some discipline. Some challenge. Some people even say that there are some wayward sheep that would get a broken leg from the shepherd to make them lay down. God's not abusive, so I don't know what to do with the fact that sometimes a shepherd uses that rod to correct and to comfort. But has God ever given you a chance to take five? Has there been any consequences in your life that have slowed you down and laid you down and you were like, holy smokes, I'm a sheep. I need some help. Me too. So he leads me beside still waters, calms down the water so I don't have to freak out. Sheep don't like running water. They want it to be pooled, not stagnant, but pooled. He restores my soul. Remember rest for your soul? Jesus said he'd give you that. Maybe not for your body. Maybe sometimes not even your mind, but your soul. He's got you, friend. He's yours, and you're his. Verses 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Emmanuel, remember that name? Not just a Christmas name. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He gives you protection. Gosh, you guys, could you imagine with me the hardest day, the most anxiety-ridden day you've ever had? Some of you are in it right now. And Jesus is setting a table for you there to allow you and I to just chill and find the shalom that only he can offer, because he's the door and the good shepherd. And I've just unpacked five verses for you on that. Barely even scratched the surface of those. And then this final one. Surely, I love that word. I love that he would say, only. For certain, even the truly, truly, if you're thinking of it, but surely, for sure, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many days does it say? Even the ones you were wondering where he was at? Even when you didn't recognize him as good shepherd? You can't go back and live yesterday, but you can look back and learn from it. You might be worried about tomorrow, but he's going to be with you. Goodness, mercy, following you. And then this final assurance. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. How long, church?
Forever.
Thank you. Good job. We looked at this. I'm going to ask you to have to unpack it a little bit more. We found in this psalm, again, salvation and security, satisfaction and sacrifice, separation and selection. So how are you going to move closer to Jesus? You going to trust him more? You going to trust him for the first time ever? You going to believe him? You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and rather than fear the evil, you're like, God, I know you got something. I don't know what it is, but I know you're good. Are you going to proclaim him as the good shepherd, the only good shepherd? All the other ones came and tried to figure it out. Some were better than others. Some were thieves and robbers, but Jesus, no, He's a good shepherd. You're going to proclaim him? You're going to tell people who he is? Are you going to be somebody who steps in and has their life rearranged by this maker, this good shepherd, this one that calls you to do something because he's your lead pastor? It's not Aaron. It's not anybody on the internet. It's not any rad pastors you used to have. Now you live here, so I'll go here. But man, that one guy, he was amazing, and we thank God for him. But your lead pastor is Jesus. And there's nobody even close to being Jesus. But we can move towards him. We can be more like him. So how will you do that? We have questions for you. Love for you guys to go through those. We have small groups that are still meeting. We need people to actually start up some more. Come back, please, after second service and hear more about what's happening at this little church that Jesus keeps smiling on because he's gracious. Let's pray. Father, oh well, I'm trying to be done early. Maybe next hour. I thank you, Jesus, that nothing in all of creation can separate us from you. Thank you that you are the door, that you are the good shepherd, that nobody is better than you. Nobody leads like you. Nobody sacrifices like you. Nobody satisfies like you. Would you help us to move nearer to you, to make your name known, to celebrate you, to believe you, to want you? God, I pray all this in your perfect name. Amen.